has multiple holes within a like 20-foot span.
You can see that's a 20-foot stick with multiple holes.
Perforated pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. Drain pipe.
Yeah. These were at least hadn't surfaced yet.
Are you finding these problems all along the full length that you're working on?
Tanner, I'll defer. Are you finding these along the whole length?
Not the whole length, but I mean, yes. The better answer would be yes. And the vast majority of these, as you guys know, we had, we get lost, 8 or 10 known leaks in about 2 weeks. And literally it was happening every day. And we were able to turn this off right before Christmas, because otherwise it was going to be happening on Christmas and Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. And so we were able to quickly do that. But most of these are leaks that had not surfaced. So while there were leaks that you would see coming up out of the ground and sometimes catastrophically, a lot of these were leaks that were either just leaking into the ground nobody knew about yet. So in one day, they probably pulled out a couple six pipes at 8 or 9 of these leaks that are like this. You could take what we call a probe rod, almost like a glorified shovel. You find stuff underground and on certain stretches hit the pipe and it just shattered. So it's too bad. You would expect the design life to be longer than that. There's a multitude of reasons why it probably looks like this, but that's why it became the emergency it did. So,
Has this section of pipe had the leak detection balloon ran through it?
We don't put a balloon in it, but we can use different leak detection techniques. Yes, and so whenever we have a leak, we go around different parts of the city when we have availability to look for leaks. This quickly became an effort where they then use that technology if we knew we had a leak to try and find out where it was coming up at. But a lot of times what's the result of this is different soil material. Today, if you put in this type of material, it would have been what we call put a bag around it, a boot around it, and then also embedded differently. But just different parts of the soil can be laid in different materials. Some other part of town would be fine and look fine like the day it went in, but this doesn't. So.
Is the virus spreading east on Eisenhower?
That's actually a different material pipe, and that, we haven't seen lots of leaks on that stretch. In that case, that material is steel pipe. It has a coating on the outside. If that coating is nicked at any time, sometimes that could be a rock put in the day it went in the ground. Anything could happen. That's a pinhole spot where it's going to focus corrosion. That's what happened on the spot there
on Van Buren.
34 of Van Buren. My last ball, I don't see that happening further, but we don't know. In those spots where we go make repairs like that, we put on anode bags that hopefully prevent future corrosion. You'll never know how much you prevent, but it's something we make a practice of doing now.
I saw this past week, the spot on Taft and 34. Is that some similar kind of thing?
It's associated but different. In order, 50 years ago, there was less building in different parts, let's say out west of town. And whether it's a cost reduction or just industry practice, not just here, there were way less valves put in the ground. And so to isolate that leak that happened on Sunday, Monday, valves had to be closed all the way at Taft. And so that leak, whatever everybody thought was a leak, was actually valving that probably hadn't been closed in a long time. It was closed, what we call the packing on top of the valve, leaks to the bolts. So it was not a leak, but certainly everybody thought it was a leak. So there's water coming out of that valve box. So that's something we're next on the list. Yeah, if you went through that intersection on Monday, especially, maybe some part of Sunday, you saw the water bubbling out of the ground. And that's exactly what you saw at Wilson right before Christmas. There was water bubbling, people call, there's water bubbling out, foot or two above the ground. Same story. So there's a lot of different reasons why that might be. Age, bank chloride on the streets, all kinds of different things. So,
how deep is the water pipe on the Wilson line?
This is relatively shallow. Normally we bury waterline 4.5 feet deep at a minimum for frost protection. This, when you dug it, it was actually a little shallower than that, but 4 feet. So, plus or minus, depending on where you're at.
There's no structural flux, that it's chemical through.
Yeah, sometimes we'll see beam breaks, or you actually see a crack in it. We haven't seen any on this. Sometimes we see those, though.
So what level or amount of service disruption is there to the customers with this project?
The big, honestly, to customers, because it's a bigger line, there are only 3 or 4 customers directly affected. It's probably not quite the right way to say it, that are tied directly to it. We had a large apartment complex behind Kmart with a whole bunch of units that was out of water. The first 4 or 5 leaks that happened, and that was That was a significant disruption. They'd be out of water potentially for the better part of a day. So one of those leaks, we had a local contractor come down where our guys were fixing another leak. We came in and saw the valve one night so that they would stop being out of water, because this had gone on now four or five times in the course of a week at that point. So we stopped, that stopped that problem. So we had relatively few people out of water. And now there's been some outages as construction goes on to cut in a valve or to make connections where, you know, we'll notify a street, hey, you're gonna be out of water for 4 hours or 8 to 12 or something. But it's probably a much bigger notice than the traveling public driving to the counties and stuff, honestly.
I don't know.
Dan, I gotta say that coordinating with Carlos, with Tanner, with Tom Green, and coordinating with Connell, they have done their utmost to minimize the outages and the interruptions to existing customers. I mean, that is foremost in their mind as they go down that stretch. They really do.
We aim for a minimum of 24 hours. We aim for 48 hours notice when it's going to lose water. Now, in the case of an emergency like what happened Sunday or Monday of Van Buren, that didn't always happen. But on these ones where we can get out ahead of it, that's always the intent.
So are you called out there at midnight when that leak appears?
I often don't unless there's somebody needs assistance or thoughts, but we have duty guys. People don't know there's someone on duty. We have someone on duty all the time. They take shifts from Friday to Friday, and so some weeks that's very busy, and some weeks it's not very busy at all. And then if they have a leak like that, they'll just start down the roster. Most of the time, our operations guys, it's pretty clear what they have to do depending on where the leaks are at. They'll call engineering depending on what it becomes and the effects or if it gets worse. So
out of your crew here, is this in the top 10?
This was not in our top 10 list of pipes to replace.
It's worse.
Yeah, right now, I got a leak map last week. So we keep track of every leak that happens in the system every year. That's pretty accurate for at least 15, maybe 20 years. I mean, even beyond that, it's less accurate. But so we keep track, and then every segment of pipe, I get a map every January based on how many leaks are on every section of pipe. And we have a list. I probably have 20 circles on there of spots. We just said anything that's had more than 5 leaks on it. So we probably got at least 20 of those stretches in the city. Ballpark anyway. And so then we just go through and rank those and try, some places try and do it all by algorithm. What we try and do is sit around with engineering staff and operations staff and not necessarily rank, but figure out where are the most important things with the dollars we have each year. I kind of like that better right now. So we try and figure out where are the next stretches coming up. Coming up is stretches along Taft on the west side of Lake Loveland. 29th Street are some big ones, things like that.
Put the pipe hole, the pipe. Gordon,
I'm sorry.
Double slide back up with the hole. I'm curious how big that hole is.
Most of the holes you'll see are. Now obviously, this one's way bigger, yeah. But most of the other ones we see on other spots, everything else are like this. So that one that was spraying out of above the top of the light poles on Monday was, you know, right. Like that. But you get 50, 60, 70 psi going through a jet like that. I mean, it'll spray a lot of water. You lose a lot. I mean, obviously, this is obviously much bigger. You know what? This may have got a little bit worse that came out of the ground, but I mean, it was decent.
That's corrosion. How long did it take to get to be that size? How many years?
You know what? A lot of times, what we find, and while this, when it was in the ground, may have been slightly smaller, but a lot of times there, it gets down, there's not a lot of material left. And so you disturb that or you pull off some of this clay material. We were digging a pit for that Wilson Avenue project on Monday, I guess it's only on Monday, just a shovel next to the pipe, pulling material off the side. The wall must have been so thin that it just blew out the side. Okay. Sometimes you don't know how thin that piece of material is, what's actually holding that piece together. So,
have you suspected any for that the pipe did not meet standard for maintaining?
No, I don't think so. It's mainly just material, soil conditions.
Is it time to go back to the wooden?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we now put in all PVC pipe, except for its different instances, plastic pipe. It doesn't have corrosion. And there's different people that espouse different things, but that's what we do, at least anything under 16 or 20 inches.
We just put in a 30-inch one, which is kind of new for the industry anyway. There's a few people doing that. And the biggest thing is just the corrosion. You can protect this kind of pipe much better now. But it's a constant thing. You're always replacing anode bags, or there's other ways to protect it. We still use ductile in some certain instances, but now mainly we're using plastic pipe to prevent future corrosion. And that's been going on for 20 plus years in the city alone.
Is the stuff you put on steel pipe the same as like on rebar, that green stuff?
No, it gets an external coating on the outside, then has a concrete mortar lining on the inside. When we put in steel pipe, you go down it and you check as it's going in the hole, as X-Fair picks it up and check for any corrosion leak, or not corrosion leaks, but any spot where the coating's damaged. So it can be repaired right there, and then it's laid in sand or a squeegee material, so it has no rocks hitting it, anything else. 100 years ago, people put rock right back on top of the pipe, and so there's better ways to protect it now.
That was a heck of a council report, Council.
Yeah.
Hey, good job.
So, anyway, that's a little bit what we've been up to.
Thank you.
I'll try to do better next time.
Okay.
All right.
Attend the meetings.
Let's move on to commission reports. I think I'll start off. And Sean provided us with the Fort Collins work plan. I don't know what we want to do as far as goals. Do we want to do a plan like Fort Collins plan? Or do we want to integrate our goals with the 2018 goals we had with addition with the mayor's proposed goals for water and staff reports, staff goals. I think we ought to have this discussion. Larry indicated that he'd like to do something here, and I know Sean is interested. We've talked about maybe having some kind of a meeting where we can discuss these goals, not only for water, but wastewater and power also. So let's open it up for discussion.
Yeah, if I might interject before your discussion. At the strategic retreat that we're having for City Council, one of the topics that's going to be discussed at fair length is the strategic planning format or structure, beginning with kind of high-level City Council working its way down. With the idea that all departments and all boards and commissions will have an opportunity to participate in the overall process. It's probably going to take over a year for us to complete that. So just so that you're aware of that. And if anybody has an interest, I think...
26th.
Yes. It's Saturday, the 26th. It's going to be at the Rialto upstairs. And I think it would be a good meeting to attend, at least that portion.
Okay. Well, is there any suggestions? Do you want to participate in that meeting before we go on with any permanent plans that we might have to address these goals that we might have in the future?
That might be advisable.
Let me just ask for maybe a point of clarification. Sean, are we looking at and others, are we looking at goals for this commission or some other work plan or defining our mission and purpose or all of the above?
Yeah, I started the conversation initially saying goals and policies, and I don't have the Fort Collins, and it's not the City of Fort Collins, it's the Fort Collins board.
Water
and maybe just water.
They have separate boards.
So that is just water. I think. And so they call it something else. I don't have it in front of me. I can't remember. But when I last reported it the last month, I said, I think we can call it whatever buzzword we think it is. To me, the meat of it is it provides some language of when we're, as a board, taking action, or when we're discussing things, we can reflect on that and say, this is kind of the world we think we're living in, and this is the role that we have.
Guidance.
Yeah, right. I used another word.
It's called the Water Board Annual Work Plan.
Okay, they have a work plan. So, you know, and maybe that's part of the conversation, quite honestly. What is it that we want? Just as a reminder, I think, for me, why I started really cranking on this issue is just trying to wrap my head around what time horizon should we ought to be looking at these things. I focus on water because that's what's my kind of natural knowledge, but you know, when we make decisions regarding Windy Gap, as an example, and not executing our first right of refusal type of thing, okay, does the master plan say that, you know, we're going to have full supplies by 2050, and we're passing that out because we think we're going to have those full supplies by 2050, and is 2050 the number? Is it 2060? Is it beyond that? And I don't have clarity on that, so I thought, well, if I don't have clarity, I'll just sort of offer it up. And so whatever it is, goals, work plan, I think for me it would be helpful to know what's the kind of the sideboards that we live in.
Well, do we want to modify, you know, our goals here to be more specific on timelines? Population reports and how much product we sell and when we sell it, and how we're going to sell it in the future, or you know, I'm not quite sure what direction that we want to go down. So if somebody has some clarification of what
It seems to me like your goals are more short term, 1 to 2 years out. You know, there's a goal for what we're going to, you know, as a board, we're going to try to, where Sean's coming from, it's more long term strategic plan. Yeah, so I see them as two different kind of issues there. I mean, the goals could speak to whatever our long term strategic plan is, but
should roll up.
But they should, yeah, they could roll up into it, but that's the way I look at it, so, personally.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I kind of struggle with keeping the goals in this, whatever this document is that we're creating. It may be a part of it or lateral to it, but it doesn't feel like it's goals so much as it's a guiding document.
Yeah.
Whatever we call it.
Okay.
You know, annual work plan.
Yeah.
That's what Fort Collins
called
it.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in my understanding of what the Fort Collins Water Board does, it's I believe the work plan's a requirement per the city charter statutes, whatever. And it's specifically done by the board. It's not a staff item. I suppose staff may help or assist, but it's really a discussion amongst the board.
Board-driven.
And when I came on this board, I think it was around the time that the, I forget what we call it, but the goals or whatever it is that we cobble together and presumably goes to city council or it's just documented by staff, that was put together and was primarily put together by staff. And I think maybe when Joe came on, he said, hey, provide me some input. And I think we emailed some input. And so I see what Fort Collins board does is different from that, which is it's really a discussion amongst the board to decide what it thinks is valuable. And it, I think it serves as a good information back to city council as your sort of citizen advisors on these kind of issues. These are what we think is important. So if it's done on an annual basis, that's great. I do think it needs that future forward look, or at least a section of it to, and it, you know, it's as good as anybody's crystal ball, but at least provides us some guidance when we make some of these decisions that I do think have long-term implications. And again, not in all reflection of the staff, it's just I think we gotta, as a board, we gotta live in a different space where we're looking at things maybe a little less, technically a little less academically and more sort of cerebral policy.
Sure.
Sort of like some long-term guiding principles about where we need to be as far as population and providing for them needs to be.
No, I see maybe a role that we might play as a city or as a department puts together its annual plans and things like that. Maybe we'd be more involved in the actual discussion of where they're going with those things. And, you know, maybe providing some advice and things like that. Not necessarily making the final decision on what that plan is, but at least providing some guidance of where you're going, what we think about it.
Yeah. Well, I read in the paper where the mayor, she kind of had some goals or direction that she'd like to see. Council discuss that with her?
No.
Well, do you want to have this, continue this discussion in the next meeting and kind of
me too.
Put it on agenda? Or
I can put it on the agenda if you want.
If I could maybe build on that comment, so I through my professional life, I attended a meeting. Larry was actually there. It was a meeting of kind of the mayors and city managers of Northern Colorado, and that article sort of reflected that and hinted on that. I was asked to be there, given my role on the Basin Roundtable and some other roles, and was asked to speak to some of the kind of urgency, if you will, of how water is being purchased within this area. And Loveland's mayor was there, and she took me aside afterwards and was apparently pretty passionate about some of the things that I said. And I quickly backpedaled and said, you need to talk to your staff and city councils and all that stuff. I'm just here as a water person, not as a Loveland resident. And it seemed like some of the comments I read in the paper were based on that, but it impresses upon me that I, at least from the mayor's perspective, and I can't speak for city council, and it maybe I've got it all wrong, that there's this question out there of what are we Loveland doing in way of acquiring water, not acquiring water, protecting agriculture, not protecting agriculture, what are we growing to, how are we acquiring our water supplies, what water supplies are they, and how does everything that is around us affect us, Thornton, Northern, and all of that. And perhaps those conversations are going on at council, perhaps those conversations are going on at a staff level. I don't know that we've necessarily discussed them, at least in my time on the LUC. And that's why I continue to bring this idea up of there is a lot of moving parts going on and immediately right now and well into the future, and what's our role in that, if any? And if we do have this future vision of Loveland being something and having water tied to it, we got to start talking about it now, because we, by the time we start acting on it, it may be gone. And that's just on water. Maybe the same sort of thing happens with power, and maybe the same sort of thing happens with sewer. I don't know. Again, water's in my wheelhouse. But I think that's where the mayor was coming from in some of that, and I've been on my fair share end of saying something to a reporter and it coming out completely different than what I thought I said, so I'm not going to take it word for word, but I that's the sentiment I was trying to, I feel like I was picking up in the article, and certainly when she took me aside at that meeting. And if that's our role as LUC to help sort of feed that up to city council to help alleviate some of those thoughts or concerns, I feel like as an LUC member I'm falling short of that, because I don't quite understand it.
And I go back again, I would say you'll get a great deal more guidance as a result of the strategic planning section of our retreat, because it's going to be a structured format where we're involving the council, all the staff, all the boards and commissions, all the citizens, looking at, I mean, we kind of had a high level set the mission vision for the city, but down, how do you then accomplish that? We want to say, what is it we want to do and why do we want to do it? And then it's really the staff portion and the boards and commissions say, here's how we ought to do that. But you will have a greater sense of how you can answer some of the things you brought out as a result of what comes out of that retreat. Okay. So I think wait and see what happens.
And it is open to the public.
It is open to the public. Yeah. You can't participate.
Did we receive an invitation? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's open to the public. So, I mean, it's on notice now for the boards and, or it's on the meeting notices for the city council. Anybody can attend. You don't get to participate.
Sure.
It's purely council and staff, but it would be a great opportunity for you to get a sense of where how do you answer the questions you're asking, really.
Okay.
If you find out when it's on the agenda, then you can budget your time to just come for that section. If you don't want to sit through the whole agonizing part.
Water? Will water be the...
Not water specifically, because it's looking at segments of it, like security, quality of life. It's all on the guiding document that Steve's put together that... really breaks the city into pieces. They're changing the pieces a little bit.
Themes, more or less. Livability.
Well, it's more along the lines of like I said, I wish I had the document here. It's in my car, but it's looking at, for instance, a quality of life is a segment, safety is a segment.
City infrastructure.
So there's seven pieces that they've tentatively looked at for grouping everything into. All departments will fit into one of those buckets. And then ultimately down the road, the idea is we have to make choices because of constraints. So what are our priorities? What are we going to do? That structure will allow us hopefully to make those kinds of decisions. Because right now, council is very uncomfortable with making those choices. And we've been very fortunate. We haven't had to make a lot of those choices. We keep growing and we keep having the money to do things. But if we have another economic downturn, which everybody says is coming, well, a lot of people say it's coming, including our budget staff, what are we going to do choice-wise? Are we going to keep our parks open, or are we going to fund the police department, the fire department? We're going to have to make those kinds of choices.
Right.
Possibly.
If I could.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we did with the budget process this year was to each department, not just water and power, but each department developed KPIs, key performance indicators, and presented those in light of the budget. And I would look at KPIs as, if you look at from strategy all the way down to a KPI, that's pretty much... If I look at it as a hierarchy, these are down at the bottom: goals, strategy, goals, work plan, and then the KPIs that tell you how you're doing from the work plan. So it seems to me we're kind of what we're doing is we've got these. And I think they're pretty good. And from water and power, they're very normative. They're industry standards. We're very lucky in that we have AWWA standards, a lot of power standards that are conventional. You can cross individual utilities and say, you know, what's your leak rate per mile, that type of thing. So this is here. We're working on the strategy, and I think we're trying to bring it from both ends and making sure that these are aligned with this.
It's almost we're working backwards. We're one of the things that
I didn't say that.
One of the things that I have pushed since I've been on council is how do we measure what we're doing? And so I began to promote the idea of having performance measures for all the departments, which Leah Bonnegger has been working on for about a year. So we have a lot of those performance measures. What we don't have is, other than the strategic mission and vision, we don't have a lot in between. So we're really working from the bottom up to get up to where we align ourselves with our mission and vision. So there's a lot of holes in it.
And these may change based on what this is. Yeah. I mean, if these aren't in alignment, and I'm trying to think of something absolutely ridiculous, you know, lighting up a pipe, I don't know, something absolutely ridiculous. If that's a strategic goal, well, then I've got to change a KPI to tell me how well I'm doing lighting up pipes. So these would drive these, and these may not be static 5 years from now, the KPIs may be very different from what we're presenting now in our budget document. And in theory, every capital project that we do should roll up and say replacement of infrastructure, infrastructure to support growth. It should tie to some kind of a strategic goal for the department as well. So that you can say, I'm doing this project. Why are we doing this project? Well, it's because it's going to meet this need or meet this goal.
I don't know if you are aware or if it surprised you or not, but there's a lot of departments in the city that don't have performance measures or didn't have performance measures and frankly didn't want them.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering then is you want, Sean, you haven't said it yet, but you want some strategic planning that's going to that's going to survive city council, because you've got a great staff, Larry, and you know what you got your Spronk report, you know what you're working for, you know where your water is, you know what your reservoirs are, and you work towards that every year. But if you guys come up with a strategic plan that, let's just say I'm going to make one up, we want a new reservoir, that might be this city council's strategic, but you, in 4 years, you're all going to be gone. And another mayor might go to another water conference and get all fired up and decide that, you know, we don't want storage. We need to buy, we need pipelines.
But see, those are tactical things.
We're talking, 50-year strategic plan, and this board needs to be working towards what that 50-year strategic plan is so that it's consistent year after year after year, so that Larry's crew and his crew and Joe can continue working towards that strategic plan. And what you're doing is great, but I think what Sean's driving at is this is some long-term strategic planning that is going to survive city councils that come and go, and that it's something that staff and boards can continue to work towards. So that's what I'm getting out of it anyway. So,
well, I'm going to suggest that, because I met with Leah today,
yeah,
and we spent about 3 hours together, that the outcome from this retreat is just a start.
Yeah.
It's getting council to buy into the format.
Right.
But when we embark on this process, I think you're going to find you're going to have a document that's going to stand the test of council.
That's what you need.
And it's going to be the guiding document that's going to tell you what to do as far as planning for storage of water, buying water, whatever.
I think so. Leah is very much approaching this not as a project, but as a process, and that this first step is really the initial structure that will allow it to go forward, not as a project, but as a process for the city on a go-forward basis. I'm really looking forward to it. She's been putting a lot of work into it for almost a year now, and it should be pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Having come off and on for over a year now, Joe, what I've heard from your staff is a lot of good things. They have been looking out 30, 40 years, and I don't remember the parameters or what the numbers are, but you guys have talked about city growth like this. I don't know what to call it, but a gap. You're oversupplying by a certain amount to make sure you're building up a reserve by a certain amount.
Right.
And to me, I think the problem, if you've got one, is that nobody knows what that is. It's a communication.
it's a guess.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, you gotta publish.
You gotta plan.
You gotta make sure people know it. And I'll caveat that with the fact that, having done it many times myself, even if you were publishing, people aren't gonna read it. So you gotta figure out how you're gonna get it in their head anyway, even if they don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want?
I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
So in previous life, I've been on Floor Planning Commission, the TIF Board, Library Board, and all of them were pretty vulnerable what we were supposed to be doing and who we were responsible to. And I'll be real honest, I've been on this 5 years now. Probably a lot of people don't like it because I'm rather aggressive. Also retired, so I have more time than you would do. But there are times I really don't know what this board's supposed to do. If we're just supposed to, because it's a requirement of council policy, to approve contracts above a certain thing, it's almost like that's a rubber stamp operation. Most of the time when they do these contracts, I just trust in the engineers and the staff that we can do it. But we're supposed to do other things. I'd really like to know what it is. It's similar to this organic contract. The thing I thought, the biggest thing I'm not supposed to talk about is change in who represents on the board. So that frustrates me. Also, it frustrates a lot of friends that I talked to that I said, I'm like, I can't talk about this or express my opinion. So I really don't know. I don't know what my responsibilities are to council. I don't know what my responsibilities are to management. I don't know what my responsibilities are to the citizens. If I go back in my manufacturing days, you know, one of the things we always heavily looked at ranked is, here's my biggest cost, my next cost, my next cost, and that. And do we prioritize like that with water and power? No, we don't. I don't think we're struggling with doing long range, and I agree, because you got to have raw material. So I would probably say that I'm one of the ones that I really don't know for sure what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, and I would say that I was on CFAC, and I very much appreciate Sean because he is doing what I did on CFAC, because I looked at the mission statement and kind of figured, well, it says they're doing all these things, but they weren't doing them. And from a council standpoint, what good was CFAC at that point in time? And there's, so it's been revitalized, mission statement's been reviewed, there's a new direction for CFAC, and they've become a very productive body and are taking on more roles that currently, I think, have, they're assuming a role, and it's the audit committee, which previously there was no audit committee, and the auditor is reporting to the wolf, the very organization that they're auditing, which is just all wrong from a financial management standpoint, internal control standpoint. So I appreciate what Sean's doing. I would say wait a couple of weeks, because I think you're going to get a lot of sense of direction out of that. That's my belief anyway, from what my conversation with Leah. I think she's embarking on what I think is going to be a really very productive exercise for the city and the citizens and you, because it's the idea is we've got to get on the same page, and my sense is we're not on the same page right now. We got 16, roughly 15 stovepipes in the city that kind of operate independently, and we've got to stop that nonsense, and we've got to work with us toward the same direction. We have different purposes and missions for the individual departments, but overall we've got to collectively be going in the same direction. So that's probably more than you wanted to hear, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, if I could.
Yeah.
So if you think there may be some further clarity after that, is it a retreat? So
yes.
A retreat. Perhaps it would be appropriate then to, I don't know how we could get that information at a meeting, if it would be a staff report that might be going to the meeting, or maybe there's city council or...
Well, obviously, Councilor Olson will be here next
month.
Yeah,
I'll be here, and maybe we can invite Leah.
I should certainly do that, and we'll definitely make sure that there's any handout-type material or any end-product-type material that comes out of it. We can pull that together before the next meeting as well. I'll see Leah on Monday.
And would it be appropriate, given the mayor's comments in the newspaper regarding protecting local water, would it be appropriate to sort of dovetail those conversations in? And I think that's perhaps a little bit of what we're asking as the LUC is, what does council want? I mean, what can we do to support whatever it is? And if council's disparate in that and it needs the retreat to help sort of come up with a common vision for that, but it, you know, in my former life, I had a council that said, we want to grow everywhere. And so that to the board was fine. We got to go get water. Great. You have direction. You can disagree with it, but at least we have direction. And I feel like in Loveland, I don't quite understand what Loveland's future is. And I further confuse that here.
I don't think You have nine counselors, and you'll get nine variations of what they think love and suture is. And we have a comprehensive master plan, and that really involves a lot of citizen participation. The problem I have with that is there's never any constraints. So the idea is, what would you like to have? Well, we want to have everything.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And so the whole strategic plan is built, or a whole comprehensive master plan is built around the idea we're going to build everything.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're not. We can't afford it. So what I've tried to emphasize to Leah, and she jumped right on it, is we've got to have some constraints. Now, we're not going to have the constraints addressed at the retreat, but as we go through the process, there's going to be a point where you're going to have to go down the list. It says, okay, you want to do A, you want to do B. You want to do A, you want to do C. You want to do A, you want to do... All the options are going to be compared against each other to come up with a prioritized list of, if when things get tight, what's left on the cutting room floor.
Right.
And as the city grows, where is it we're going to have to pay more attention to accomplish that growth in a way that's controlled.
And this sounds completely full of myself, but I believe without water, none of that conversation could be had. So if it's you know, east of Centerra, or if it's south, or if it's infill, or if it's all a different equation. And I think Larry is coming to report it to the LUC. It gets complicated as a water planner, because if it's infill, if it's densities, then that's a different sort of planning methodology than what we've historically had. You overlay conservation into that, and so on and so forth. And so, for that strategic sort of vision side of things, if that's going to be, say, a year out, and meanwhile the water community is starting to set the stage to have their piece of the pie, by the time we get ready to go in a year, those opportunities may be lost. So there's an urgency side to it. Further, if there's a desire to do other things that may not be necessarily directly talked about in water, like I used to be on the Parks Board and they want to do another rec center. Who's going to pay for it? That's the money side of things. Is it the enterprise? Do the fees pay for that? Do the taxpayers pay for that? On the water side, it's every bit on the backs of the ratepayers. And so it's always inherently this discussion around does existing ratepayers pay for new growth? And that conversation, in my experience, derails everything. And so we need to start laying those tracks now and helping council make sure that it understands whatever vision it has, there's this other ratepayer element to it.
Well, I mean, we can have we should probably have a discussion over beer rather than up to the conference. But, I mean, we have capital expansion fees that invest in the future. So new growth coming in pays for the future. And that includes buying water down the road.
But infrastructure as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Martin Lynn made a comment, I took a water course, that suggested the mayor take it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she took it up. But Martin Lynn made the comment that we don't have a water problem, we have a water storage problem. When I got on council, I jumped on Steve, why aren't we doing any conservation? And to give you the short version is, well, the problem is if we conserve and our usage goes down, then we got to raise rates to cover the cost of water. So, well, what good does that do? Well, we're going to reach a point we're going to have to conserve in order to, that's going to have to be part of our planning process, that we'll have the storage. So grabbing it as it goes by and using it up so that we don't lose the rights to it, that won't be an issue down the road. But it kind of is now.
And we should have several beers. Just that comment alone, I think is at least in my time, we've not discussed that at the LUC. There will be a time in which we conserve, and we need a place to store it, or we need a way to adjust to that. I don't believe that discussion's been had. I may have missed it, but I don't believe it's been had. And that's where I feel
it had to have occurred at some point, because you're building storage. Yeah.
That conversation comes up in the master plan updates.
Yeah.
When we have the bigger discussion about the master plan update.
Conservation.
Yes.
Yeah, but go back.
Is one of those.
But when you talk about conservation, that's not just that. It's when we do rate study. And rate study is applicable the water. We haven't touched, I've never, the time I sat on the register, we never had an honest discussion. But Jason, why are you against tiered water rates? The same way with power. When you're looking for columns, smart meters, and they're going to that time of day. Now that sounds awful, progressive for level. But we ought to understand it and why they're doing that and what are they trying to accomplish that we don't care to try to accomplish. I really don't know. And it's the same way with tiered water rates and non-tiered water rates. But to most people that I've read, if you're trying to promote conservation, it's not just talk about it or do that. You also need to look at it when you do the race study.
Which I agree, and I think we've had some discussion on that too. So, and I've had discussion with people in Fort Collins who think that rate, tiered rate system is good, some that don't like it at all. And so, you know, we should talk about it, that's for sure.
You know what almost shocked me at where I was at? I ended up talking to a guy that's on the utility board at the electric advisory board at Fort Collins. And he's got solar panels too. So I was telling him, you know, I hope, and I do hope to be involved in the rate study because I don't understand exactly what we got while we got it. Because if I remember right, we ran out of time to do much. I tried reading Bruce's three-letter passage, you don't understand.
Yeah, I've
been three times now, I don't
understand.
Me
too.
So then I'm talking to this guy from Fort Collins, who's on the board. He's got, I can't remember how many megawatts of solar. And I back up on noise. He said, boy, I wish we had leveling rates for solar. Yeah, I knew you'd get it. Well, that's what I said. And actually, we were getting into a good discussion. Wherever I was at, I don't even know where I was at. We were just trying to say, really? Well, that's not what the solar gens people I've got. And I said, you know, so obviously, I'm feel stupid about the subject, and number two, I really don't know what's the best thing. And that's another one to, that before that, Amazon, we need a lot more work, or I need a lot more education. Well, maybe get rid of me, maybe that'd be easier.
I just have to say that I find it completely unbelievable that anybody gives a lease for frackers because of the water situation.
Why?
It takes 5 million gallons of water every single well. You cannot talk about conservation of water without talking about fracking. I'm sorry. You gotta do it. You cannot continue this.
That's a subject that
I know
we're not discussing right now. So.
No one ever wants to discuss it. But it needs discussing because water in Colorado is untenable. It's untenable. 5 million gallons of water for every single well. 84,000 wells in Colorado.
All right, well let's talk about this at future meetings and we'll attend that. And if you want to put it on the agenda, or
we'll have material from the council strategic plan.
Okay.
Planning session.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on with the commission reports. Larry, why don't you start? I know you're going to get out of here pretty soon.
I have nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
That was easy.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything. I was trying to do math.
Nothing for me.
Okay.
No, I'll pass.
All right. Director's report.
We went mostly over Wilson Avenue. That was the biggest. That was the biggest thing. And again, just you have no idea the professionalism and dedication of the crews that we have on both the water and power side. They continue to perform at unbelievable rates. They were stressed very heavily during December and here into early January. So please, please appreciate them and spread the word when you're out in the community what a good job they do. We are still off the river. We expect it's the 16th. I'm hoping they are done within the next 10 days. They already know that we will be presenting them a bill, and all we have to do is go out and find the water, but they will be paying for the water. So we still have a great relationship with them, and but I know that they're anxious to get out of the canyon, very anxious. So that's about all.
I have one question, John,
sure.
On the report. Can you, it's regarding this Praxair annual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you refresh my memory or tell me what this is about in an annual basis? I assume Praxair is one of our
big
key accounts.
They are. They are one of our key accounts. And we, for a variety of reasons, many of them historical, we meet with them to discuss rates, where they're going from a business standpoint. It's just an opportunity because they are such a large energy user and a large water user. It's just an occasion to discuss rates. It's been more social in the past. This time it was cut because they were recently purchased or merged with another company. We had about a three-hour meeting with them. But PRPA, oh, Joe's gone. PRPA comes down, and we discuss rates and propose upcoming rates so that they can look at their forward-looking balance sheets.
Who is that?
Praxair.
Praxair.
Over on
Denver.
Right.
What are they making? Nitrogen?
They make compressed gases here, all atmospheric gases, so nitrogen, CO2. They have other facilities that make different gases, but that's what they do here.
All three of
them. I just had a couple questions on the emergency exercise.
Yes.
Who actually put that program together?
Well, it was a lot of folks. We had an enormous amount of help from LFRA, from Pat Mialy, and she is the city's emergency coordinator, emergency manager. So we conformed that exercise to certain FEMA standards, and there were it was a very, very rigorous exercise. So the city will get credit for performing this exercise if we have to go in for FEMA money at any point in time. So it was really facilitated pretty much by LFRA. Obviously, we participated. We had a group that was a planning group and then the exercise group. So there was about six or eight folks, staff members that worked with Pat and her staff to set this all up. And it was a good exercise. They are going to do that with other departments in the city, aiming at some point in the future, and I won't speak for them, of having a citywide exercise.
Would that scenario involve, for example, a caravan of illegal immigrants arriving?
Ours dealt with an out-of-control wildfire. A wildfire.
You're missing the realm originally?
I'm sorry?
You're missing the realm.
I got it. No, it was a wildfire.
Yeah. Frackers would have never done
that. I know.
That was all I had. That was really interesting.
That's it.
Okay. One last thing. I want to thank you all for your participation on this commission. And I just love coming here, and I really appreciate.
That's because we feed you. That's because we feed you, counselor.
Yeah, you're not feeding me as well as you used to.
Budget, counselor. Budget.
I shouldn't be able to relate to that, but I really appreciate your thoughtful discussion and your digging into these issues. And I always learn a lot when I come here, so thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your participation.
That's what we're
doing. We don't always
good to have a counselor coming down.
Yeah, we don't always have a liaison that shows up.
Well, you got one that's going to show up for as long as I'm on council, and I can live and breathe.
All right.
So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all think that water is real important.
Source power. You couldn't get any of your water here if you didn't have electricity, right?
Chicken and egg, Larry. Chicken and egg.
I live in Minnesota because we have water everywhere. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate it here.
Yeah. One thing that I might just add is that are we working on that, getting that designation and having water quality so we can compete with Greeley on their
water? Yeah. That
we won the trophy.
That
yes,
I'm not going to say anything about my good water brethren over in Greeley, but I do not understand that competition occurred at the time when we were struggling with blue-green algae up at the reservoir. It's absolutely the worst time of the year to talk about potential water quality. I have no idea where they drew their sample
they
from.
They draw it out, right out of the Pooters where they draw it. They don't draw it out of Greeley. When I heard that, I was like, that's BS, man.
But if we were up, that is the toughest time of the year to try to, from a taste and odor standpoint, it's the toughest time of the year is the autumn.
I know, and they're pulling it right out of the Pooters. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
I was like, cheaters never prosper.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.